We're continuing now with the Hagdamas of Rambam, the introduction of the Rambam. It's in the standard Rambam, it's page Gimel, the second paragraph. The Rambam has just finished talking about how if in the laws after the Gemara there is an argument between different authorities, you follow that opinion which seems the most reasonable. If you're a great person yourself, you can choose between conflicting opinions. However, the Rambam continues. What was said here applies only to the laws and decrees and institutions and practices that were made after the Gemara was completed. But everything that is found in the Babylonian Talmud, all Jews must follow. It's in the post-Talmudic questions that you can choose, depending on which one seems better. If you're a great person, you can choose between two different opinions. But the Gemara, you have to follow. We force every city and every country to follow all of the practices that were stated in the by the sages of the Gemara. To follow their decrees and to follow their institutions. Why? Because everything that's found in the Gemara was agreed upon by all of the Jewish people. Those sages of the Gemara who made the institution or decreed the decree or said that you should follow do a certain thing or judged a certain judgment and learned what the law is, they were all of Israel, or the majority, all of the sages of Israel, or at least the majority. And it is them who heard the tradition in the foundations of the Torah, all of it, from generation to generation, all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. All of the sages who followed the Gemara and who understood it and there had a great reputation because of their wisdom, they are referred to as the Ga'anim. Now all of these great sages who arose in Israel, in Babylonia, in Spain, and in France study the way of the Gemara and revealed its hidden light and explained it well. Because the Gemara's way is a very deep one. Moreover, Shublashin Arami, it's in Aramaic, Mu'uravim Lushenes Acheres, together with other languages. Why is it written in that language? Because that language was clear to all of the people of Babylonia when the Gemara was written. But in other countries, and even in Babylonia, in the time of the Gaonim, people don't know that language until they're taught it. Aramaic is no longer the spoken language, even in Babylonia. At that time, Arabic was spoken in Babylonia. Many questions are asked by the people of every city to the sages, the Ga'anim, who are in their days, to explain to them the difficult parts of the Gemara. They answer them according to their wisdom. The people who ask the questions collect the answers and make books out of them to understand them. So that's one kind of literature that the Gaonim wrote, Shelos HaTshuvos, responsa, questions and answers. There are also works written by the Gaonim of each generation to explain the Gemara. Some of them explained certain individual laws. and others explained individual chapters that were considered difficult in their times. Some explained whole tractates or whole orders. So that's the second kind of literature of the Gainam, commentary on the Gemara. The Aid, and another thing, this is a third kind of literature, Chibru, Halachas, Psukas. They composed legal decisions, the Yenisa Veheter, concerning forbidden and permitted, the Chibru Potter, and liable and free of liability, the Dvarim Shishat, Tzricham Lahem, Tzricha Lahem, and matters needed for the time, that it should be close to the understanding of somebody who was not able to go down to the depths of the Gemara. The Zuhi Malachas Hashem Shasubo called Gani Yisrael Miyam Shechubra Gemara Vazman Zeh. This is the work of Hashem, the godly work that was done by the Gaonim of Israel from the time that the Gemara was written until this day. Shehi Shana Shminis Achar Mea V'Alaf L'Chur Ben Abayis. It's the year 1108 after the destruction of the temple. It's the year 4937 from the creation. Rambam continues. These times, there's great persecution. The hour and time pressed upon everyone, and the wisdom of the sages was lost, and the understanding of the understanding ones is hidden. And those three kinds of literature, the explanations, the laws, and the responses that the Gaonim wrote, and in those times they saw that it was clear, understandable things. They became difficult in our times. And people do not know what they're talking about really well, except for a few. It goes without saying that there's difficulty in the Gemara itself, the Babylonian, the Jerusalem Talmud, Sifra, Sifri, the Tosefta, and the other works of Halacha, the Sifra, the Sifri, and the Tosefta. They need a broad knowledge and a wise soul. There's Manarach and a lot of time. Then you know the proper way in the forbidden and permitted things. And other laws of the Torah, how it is. So there are very, very few people who are capable of doing that anymore. And because of this, I girded my arrows. I, Moshe, the son of Maimon, the Svardi. There's another verse in Shanasti Masnai. I girded my loins. Shanti Alatsur Baruchu, and I depended on the rock, on Hashem, blessed is He. I looked in all of these books, that is, the Gemara and other books of that time, like the Sifra, the Zifri, the Yerushalmi, and the Gaonic literature. For Isi Lechabert Varmam is Barim, Bechalei Lachiburim. And I sought to write things that are clear from all of these books, concerning the forbidden, the permitted, the impure, the pure, in all of the laws of the Torah, as well as all of the other laws of the Torah. All of this I wrote in a clear language, and in a short way, that the whole oral Torah should be arranged in the mouth of everyone without a question or answer, because it's all there clearly to begin with. Not one person saying one way and another person saying another way. But a clear words that are right and according to the law that comes out from all of the books and commentaries that are found from the time of Rabbeinu Kaddish, who wrote the Mishnah, till our time. So that all things should be revealed to the small and large alike in the laws concerning all of the mitzvahs. and in the laws of all of the things instituted by the prophets and the sages of the prophets. So through learning the Rambam, you get the total of all of the laws, and he chooses, among the different opinions, he gives you the opinion that he considers to be the halacha. Klal shel davar, the rule is, kedei shelo yeh adam tzarich lechi bracha ba'olam, bedin medina Yisrael. A person doesn't need any other book in order to decide the laws of Israel. This book will collect within it all of the oral law, as well as the institutions and practices and decrees that were made from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, but Chibur Gemara until the time of the Gemara. And according to the explanation of all of the Gaonim who wrote it after the time of the Gemara. Therefore, I called this book Mishnah Torah, the repetition of the Torah. First the person reads the oral law, the oral Torah, and then he reads this book, and he knows the entire oral Torah. He doesn't have to read any other book in between because he knows all of the laws of the oral Torah. The Ravid's objection to the Rambam. He has a strong objection here. The Rambam said, he knows from this book all of the laws of the Torah. Amar Avraham, says Avraham the Ravid, the Rambam thought he was fixing things, but he did not. He forsook the way of all of the authors that preceded him. They brought proof to how they decided. And they wrote the things in the name of the person who said it. If they decided a certain way, they said, such and such a sage of the Gemara holds this way, and I feel that the law is like that. This had a great value. Let's say a certain judge thinks a certain thing should be permitted or forbidden. And he has a proof from a certain place. Then somebody else writes, let's say a sefer, and in that sefer he writes differently and says why, based on some other place. If he knew that there was a great person who felt otherwise, he would change his mind. So if the author of the book writes that so-and-so paskin decided the halacha this way, so the dayan would, since he found out that so-and-so holds that way, he might change his mind. The Atta, but now, in the Rambam's book, that he doesn't give his sources, he doesn't say which interpretation he's following, he just gives the final decision. Why should I change what I received and the proofs that I have just because the Rambam said otherwise? Because if the person who's arguing on me is greater than me, good. But if I'm greater than him, why should I nullify my opinion before his? Since the Rambam doesn't say according to whom he's basing his opinion, why should I listen to that person? Maybe my opinion is greater than his. Another thing. Sometimes the Gaonim themselves argue with one another. And the author, the Rambam, chooses one of the Gaonim and writes them in his book. Why should I depend on his choice? What if that choice doesn't appeal to me? And I don't know the person who's arguing on that choice if he's great enough to argue with him or not. Says the Rav that the Rambam was too ambitious and therefore he argues on this on the whole premise. Now the Kesef Mishnah defends the Rambam's position here. First of all, the fact that the Rambam did not do like the early Gaonim and write the opinion, say where he got it from, and bring in whose name it was. The Kesef Mishnah says if the Rambam would have done that, he wouldn't have had to write this book altogether. There are plenty of other books of that type written. The whole point of the Rambam is to have a clear law and not to show different opinions, but to have a final decision. That's his whole point. As far as the Ravid's objection, that he says that how should we know if we should depend on the Rambam's opinion, maybe my opinion is greater. Let's say the person who's learning this, his opinion is greater.
So he says, indeed, if there is a person who is very great, who is as great as the Rambam, and he doesn't want to depend on the Rambam's choosing and the Rambam's decision, he wants to go through it himself, by all means, let him do so. Let him look at the Gemara, let him look at the commentaries, let him decide different than the Rambam. But for people who are not greater than the Rambam, they can depend on what the Rambam says. In other words, says the Kesef Mishnah, what the Rambam did is valuable for everyone, except for a person who is as great as him, who doesn't feel that he has to rely on the Rambam. Let him not rely on the Rambam. But what about all those other people who are not greater than the Rambam, who are lesser than the Rambam? They can depend on what he says. In fact, as the Kesef Mishnah, there is benefit even to somebody who is as great as the Rambam, let's say. Let's say he has to find a psak din, and he doesn't have the time. He can look at the Rambam and paskin according to the Rambam, because the Rambam is still very great. Even if this guy is just as great as the Rambam, but still the Rambam is also very great. So he can certainly depend on the Rambam. Secondly, he says, even a very great person who's not in a rush, if he sees the Rambam's opinion, even if, let's say, he's as great as the Rambam, still the Rambam is very great too, and it's no small thing, says the Kesef Mishnah, to know what the Rambam's opinion is. So even someone as great as the Rambam can benefit by seeing what the Rambam's opinion is. The Rambam continues, for Isi l'chaleki brezeh, alochas, alochas, polinyan v'inyan. I saw that I should divide this book into different halachas in each subject. I'll divide the halachas into chapters in that particular subject. And each chapter will be divided into small paragraphs of law, so that you should be able to learn them by heart. These halachas in each and every subject, certain halachas are dealing with only one mitzvah. The mitzvah sheish b'divrei kabbalah harbe, this is a mitzvah that has a lot of tradition attached to it. V'inyan b'fnei atzmo, it's a separate matter by itself. V'yishuv halachas shem kelel l'mishpatei mitzvos harbe. Some of the halachas include the laws of many mitzvahs. In yos and the mitzvahs kulam b'inyan echad, all of those mitzvahs are related to one another. Because this book is divided according to subject rather than according to the number of mitzvahs. So he doesn't have one halacha per mitzvah. He has it one per subject, whether there's one mitzvah in that subject or many mitzvahs in that subject. As can be seen by someone who reads this book. The number of mitzvahs that applies for all generations are 613. Of them, 248 are positive commandments. Assigned for them is the number of limbs of a person, 248. And of them are negative commandments, 365. And assigned to remember the number of the positive negative commandments, the number of days in a solar year. Descends the Hagdama of the Rambam.